Are you ready to pray for him?
Let's pray and ask God just to move. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come into your presence, that you are here. Wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Father, we thank you for our brother here today who has sought your heart. And Lord, that is going to bring forth today something good for us. Lord, we have no idea what's in that bag, but Lord, whatever it is, use it to instruct us. Use it to motivate us. Use it, Lord, just to correct us if that is what is needed here today. Yes. We thank you for our brother. We ask that you would anoint him and just bless every word that he speaks here today. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor John, Ricardo, Troy, Ray, Eli, they just got back from Band of Brothers. Right? It's one of those things that if you can take the time, plan ahead to go, I highly, highly recommend it. There's nothing like it to see men get together, over 400 men. And Pastor John, I had talked with him a little bit last night. He said that it was one of the best conferences he's been to. He's been going every year since they started them. Says here, the call to battle stations awakens in us the heart of what it means to be a man. Can the men stand up? Please, stand up. This thing signals danger. Right, Eddie? Danger, danger. Right? Eddie was lost in space until he gave that teaching. But he's back now. Says, a real threat exists. Duty demands my instant response. Duty demands my instant response. Pastor John just gave a call for help for what God's doing this upcoming weekend. Not for what Ricardo's doing. Ricardo's a part of what God's doing. He just gave a call to the men. To the men. And I know as men, we're not going to leave it to the women to do this. Although, we can use their help too. But wouldn't it be nice to have the men get involved in something that traditionally they may not? To take part in it, like he said. I must drop whatever I'm doing and report at once to my place on the wall. All right, you guys need to drop everything you're doing. Come up front to this wall here. Come on up front. This is a call. Who said you had a choice when it comes to the kingdom of God? See, that's one lie right there if you thought you had a choice. If God calls up his men, no matter where you're at, he calls you up. I am doing and report at once to my place on the wall. I am alert and I am ready for war. The enemy is at hand. Are you guys ready for war? Did you come prepared for war today? That's the bottom line. Are you prepared for war? Are we going to be going to war? Have we been in a war? I believe we've been in a war, Pastor John. I believe God brought a message through Pastor John about being in a war. How many here have signed up for war? No, we found ourselves born into this war. It wasn't something we signed up into. We were born into it. And we have no choice but to stand and fight. Now, do you want to fight this war alone? Because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be isolated and alone, right? He says, the enemy is at hand. Nehemiah prophetically called the men to their battle stations. They held a trowel in one hand, or in this case, a spoon, a fork, a salad dish, who knows? A vacuum cleaner for cleanup. Right? Reminding of us of our calling to build something that will outlast us. Like I said, this isn't just about Ricardo this week coming up. This is about God's kingdom and moving forward in his kingdom. Does that interest you, Bob?
Scares me.
Scares you, and it should. It says, and they held a sword in the other hand. The sword being what? The word of God. The word of God was that forceful men take this. So the first thing we're going to have to overcome is our flesh. Because here, who thought, well, gee, that's just, I can't wait to sign up to do something like that. I can't wait to give my time, my service, to be able to clean up after others. Right? That was our first thought. That brings me so much joy. We have that nature to want to be served, not to serve. Right? God has a nature to serve. It says, and they held that sword in the other hand, reminding of us a real enemy and our duty to fight and protect what is precious to us. So what is precious to us? Is it going to be that time that we have to give up? At this point, I can guarantee that probably half of you don't even know what you're doing with that time that you would have to give up. That you don't have previous plans. But you hope that something better would come along rather than that. But what we don't realize is that is God. That's a God thing. That's a God thing that Pastor John and Pastor Don have set up to have a man of God come in and speak to us. That's where you get involved. That's where the rubber meets the road, man. And then it goes beyond that. So the challenge is to you guys to do the God thing, to do the right thing, to do the holy thing. Do you think of it as a holy thing to do? Or is it just another task? It's anointed by God to serve in his house. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And there's not going to be a bunch of people patting you on the back, saying thanks. It's not a job that turns around and gives you all the accolades and the glory. It's a tiresome task. But it's on to the King, the King of Kings, that we do what we do. Amen? All right, you men can have a seat. All right, I got a song I'm going to play. And then we're going to get started.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the dark. Give hope. And you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to me. Great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Yes.
Hallelujah. It's his breath, his life that dwells in us. You know, in seeking God, I went back to September 1st. Ray spoke. Who here remembers what Ray spoke on? Don't give up. Don't give up. That was the message to us, not to give up. Endurance, the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process, situation, without giving way. Don't give up. September 1st, that was the message. Pastor John, on September 8th, talked about fighting for what we believe in. Fighting for what we believe in. What do we believe in? Do we believe that God is doing something here and now in our midst? Do we believe he's doing something in our communities, in our workplace? Right? And we go to September 15th, when Bob got up here and tried to deceive us. Right? You remember it, with the envelope? Yeah. The trick behind that is there was five of us that had the numbers 1 through 5. So he just had to pick Ed for number, or Fred for number 3. What was interesting is that after the service, I took him an envelope because I had one of the envelopes. I says, Bob, do you want this? And he's like, no, you can keep that. I said, you sure now? Absolutely. He said, oh, yeah. He says, would you like me to autograph it? I said, please do. It was a check for him. He was deceived. Somehow, he did not autograph that check to me. But that's what happened. Bob showed us that anybody can be deceived. Right? We go to September 22nd, our responsibility to love. Part 1, 29th, part 2. This is what God's speaking to us as a body. These are the things that we need to be meditating on. Amen? And then we go to October 6th, complacency. Danger. Complacency, the self-satisfaction, unawareness of actual danger. That we can be unaware of the actual danger of our actions. He actually had a prop himself, Anthony, come up with window washing equipment and a lifeline, right? The danger for Anthony is life or death. It's just not being hurt. Some of the questions that Eddie asks is, what does life amount to? Are we rich in what matters to God? Are we aware of the sufferings of so many others? Does the moral collapse of our country bother us? These are the things that we're supposed to be pondering, meditating on, the words that are coming forth, the words that come forth to your ears. Not just to respond, but to understand, what is it God's wanting to do? What is it he's trying to do? What is it he's saying? Week after week, there's a thread that goes through. There's a thread that comes back from Indiana. 400 men, and those 400 men weren't from the same state. They were from all across the United States and possibly other nations. And yet God's doing something, and sometimes we're unaware of that. Today's message is about forward progress. All these messages here are about forward progress and building his kingdom and seeing his glory. These are messages that we need to take to heart. Not just to hear them, but to understand. Our prayer should be, Lord, may I understand what it is that you said. Ken taught this morning about change. May I understand. May I trust you in the midst of the change that's happening. I got to have some more assistance. Sammy, can I have you and your lovely daughter come up? Every sin is weight, but not every weight is sin. You need to put her on your shoulders. All right. So every sin is weight, but not every weight is sin, obviously. Now, Sammy has no issue carrying his daughter around. She may have grown tired, weary, right? So he's going to do this. How long you say you could do it for? For hours. For hours. That's what I love about men. They boast. I'm going to read a little something here. It says, almost every dad knows the feeling. It's a crushing literal weight of another human perched on the top of your shoulders as you walk. Well, he doesn't feel that yet. Let's see what he says hours from now. So Sammy will be staying after. And we'll call out and let you guys know how he's doing with this boasting. Okay. Sure, it's cute for the first mile or the first hour, Sammy would say. But then the sweat starts to trickle down your back. Right? And those little hands have been who knows where to start rubbing on your cheeks and in your mouth. Right? The footsteps get heavier and heavier as you plod along, carrying not only your weight, but the additional weight of 10, 20, or 40 pounds on top of you. The extra weight is hard. It certainly made walking harder. In truth, though, I didn't mind it, Sammy says. I know these days are fleeting. There will come a time soon when neither she nor I will want a shoulder ride anymore. The extra weight may have been difficult, but it was still worth bringing along as we walked from place to place. And so we come to the exhortation about running from the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore, since you also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. All right, you can let her down and go back, but you can stay up. He set himself up for the boasting. The analogy is straightforward enough. We as Christians find ourselves on a racetrack. We've all heard that before, that we're running in a race. In America, it's called the rat race. And the way they go about it is totally different than how God goes about it. How do you get ahead? How do you get more? How do you use people? Do you step on people? Right? But it's still a race. How do you get promoted? How do you do it without it hindering other issues? We as Christians find ourselves on that racetrack, and we are to run with everything in us to the finish line, keeping our eyes focused on that which is not only our prize, but also our field for the race. So we're to keep our eyes focused on that finish line. Now, we find that sin is a weight. Sammy, let's say this is for you. I put it up there because you're going to need that to put it around your shoulders. Go ahead. Flip into that.
Pastor Don, a little help?
Would you like me to get your daughter back up here?
Nope.
So, this is how we started out, like it was spoken today in Egypt. Sin. Sin is a weight. Now, with Sammy's weight of sin and his boasting, Sammy, how long would you like to carry that for?
Not long.
Not long? We'll see about that. Because it's something that we do as people. We carry our sin instead of confessing it. Instead of going to this river that we sung about and being cleansed. And we'd like to think that, oh, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to be able to do so much for the Lord. It's my heart's desire. But for that to happen, something has to decrease for him to increase. Amen? Tell me when you want to tap out. That's a whole other sermon Pastor Don gave. No, he's not, is he? There, of course, is sin. Sin in the analogy would be like trying to run this race, not on a smooth track, so going to have Sammy run on a track that's not so smooth, because he'd be able to walk. Go ahead. Can you walk down the aisle a little bit instead of standing still? He walks like Fred now. He's got that swaying going on. But it would be a track instead of a trail, or trees, roots, vines, down branches litter the path. These are things that can trip us up and make us fall. These are the attitudes, actions, ambitions, and secret emotions we treasure in our hearts that wrap themselves around our proverbial feet and bring us to the ground. Sin is meant to destroy and kill us. It's meant to keep us from running a race and barely walking a race. We need to cast off sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because if not, this is you running that race. And how do you expect to turn around and get that prize, that goal that was set before you, if you're not going to cast off the sin that so easily entangles you? Now, Sammy picked that sin up, and there's more than one sin in there. Set it back up here. Can you get it that high?
No.
Right. How do you feel now with that off your back?
Feel good.
Feel light?
Feel good.
Feels a little bit better?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let's see what we got here. Start you off a little different now. Here you go. Well, we all know a little bit of sin is not going to harm us. Right? Amy, go ahead and walk down the aisle. Oh, look at it. He's tossing it around. He's back to walking straight up. So we all know that a little bit of sin, we think in our minds, is it's not that bad. I can still move. I can still do the things that I need to do, the things that God's called me to do. I don't need to let that go. It's not weighing me down. I carry it with me wherever I go. And that's the deception of the enemy. If he came all at you, it'd be one thing, but he doesn't. He comes at you and gets you to carry just a little bit. Well, I'm not complacent all the time, just a little bit. Just when the call goes out for help, then I'm complacent. When the call doesn't go out, I'm ready. I'm prepared. It's only when there's something to do that I get a little complacent. When everything's been done, I'm ready. Man, how come nobody called me? I was ready. That's that little bit of sin, that little bit of deception that comes in. That it's that word that we need to have. But interesting enough, in that scripture, right? It says, therefore, since we are also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Every weight and sin. Well, since we've begun our walk with Christ, a lot of us have laid away our sin. We're not where, as we heard today, where we were. We look back, not to go back, not to have a heart to go back, but we look back and we see all the things that we've let go, that we laid aside. But what about these weights? These weights that would hold us back. And that's where Pastor John touched on it. That we're not being forceful. He touched on it and called it a mediocre Christian. A mediocre walk. That we're going to settle for good instead of God's best. That's a weight. Well, I'm not where I was, so I'm good enough. At the commercial. Well, that's good enough. And we get to that mindset of, I'm good enough. Why do I need to go any further? Why do I need to lay down these weights? And one of the biggest weights that we have in this culture of the American dream is that we fill our time with so many things that are not essential. Not essential. Shane, you got that backpack? Your backpack? Yeah, Shane's able to carry this one. Gets the other one. I'm sorry, Sammy. You don't have it. Well, go get it. He is about to get complacent. He just made an excuse. It's not in the vicinity that I wished it would have been so that I would have to walk further than I have to go. He just talked himself out of it. It's that simple. We do it all the time. We're not discerning our actions properly. You just seen it perfectly. No, I don't have it. No, I don't have it in front of me. Therefore, I must go downstairs. We know to travel there, especially if he's carrying sin, running through the Brussels and the trees. And, you know, who knows? He could be gone for a long time. We don't know if he'll ever return. Oh, my gosh. God is God. He's coming. And he's carrying it. Look at it. He's carrying it with a smile. He's still okay with just the rock, or you want the backpack? Right? Shane here has another backpack. And this backpack involves who? His daughter. His backpack involved his daughter. He didn't want them both on him, right? So first he cast his daughter off, as you've seen. He did as I said.
This guy's a false.
Okay. He did as I said. He deceived himself. He deceived himself, especially since he's known me for so long. But he cast his daughter off because one or the other was getting too heavy. And he figured, oh, she'll be okay. Does our personal sin affect others? Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about that. Does your personal sin affect others? Does this little rock that he's carrying going to affect him and affect others? He's not able to let go of that. And obviously, his right hand is affected because that's where he's holding it. See, his right hand got tired. Okay, see? There you go. We're going to be smart with our sin. We're going to hide it. We're going to hide it. It's what we do. It's what we do. We hide it. We come in. Oh, no, no. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, I'm here to praise the Lord. It's hidden now. You are so good at this. So good. Have this backpack, door number two. Now, as you know, his daughter is down in the nursery, correct? Right? The word of God is being ministered to her. You're having a good time in fellowship. She's in the nursery. It's just fellowship. Snacks. Physical food, possibly. Right? Let's see what your backpack has. Come on over here. Sammy's his non-essentials, that's for sure. What's that? Wipes. Is that an essential for a little baby?
It is.
You sure wouldn't want to go without those wipes, would you?
No.
And what was that? That
is formula.
Formula. You think that's an essential?
I would, no.
Not for you, for her.
Not anymore, yes.
No, now wait a second. He just cast off an essential, her food, because of cost. Because of the cost of formula. I can guarantee you, I know my son, just like one of these other items comes out, it's going to be, no, that's not an essential.
Essential?
Is that an essential?
I would think so.
You would think so?
Yes.
Despite the cost?
Despite the cost.
But when does the potty training begin? As soon as possible?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know when I'm supposed to.
Supposed to? When you ain't got money.
Today it is.
All right. What else you got?
I got snacks.
Snacks. All right. Now, snacks. There is a good thing because it's not necessarily food, but it's still nourishment to the body. It's still those times that you can break away and get with God. It's not like you spent a whole weekend. But you break away and you get with God. You get a snack. You have him set the table and you get a little snack, a little something to supplement you during the day. A word, a song. It's an essential. What else?
I got clothing.
Clothing. Clothing for when she stumbles, falls, sins. She's able to turn around and be dressed in white linen or a nice little outfit.
Thermometer, booger picker.
A booger picker. Now that's essential. That is essential. Amen? So you're talking about her health now, her physical health. And we're talking about our spiritual health. Do we really, really want to be carrying around the weight of sin? Do we want to think that we're not carrying the weight of sin? Do we want to believe that we're not carrying the weight of non-essential items? If we're running this race and you're running it to win, which backpack are you going to choose for your daughter?
I would choose this one.
Hey, you said it now. So So that means you have to cast this one off. All right?
I'd be happy to cast it.
Cast it to who? So see, there you go. A perfect example of how one sin of this brother is going to affect this brother. Because our sin affects each other as a body. It affects each other as a body. You can't get away from that. I think that's why sometimes people don't want to be a part of a body. Like, oh, I'm better off by myself. Have you seen this group here? I'm definitely better off by myself. Meaning they haven't recognized their own sin. And they think more highly of themselves than they ought to. Because after all, we're just broken people loving God. Right, Donna? Broken people loving God. And all we want is for those that we love to love God, casting crowns. We're just broken people loving God. We're not perfect. Obviously, Sammy, your sin's still hidden. We're not perfect people. We all have that. To some degree, we're hiding something. But we're not hiding it from God. We hide it from each other. We hide it from each other because we don't want people to know that we're broken. Do you know you're broken? And it was by grace that he saved us. It's by grace that he's sanctifying us. It's by his grace that he's bringing us through from glory to glory, Ken. There might be somebody that just went through glory, to a new glory, to a new season. By no means, and we just talked about it, the depth of what Pastor John and Pastor Don have brought us as men of God, and yet these men are still broken. They're no different than us. They have a call on their life that's different, but they're no different than us. Don't put them on a pedestal. Pray for them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Walk beside them. Lift them up. They are no different than us. We think somehow that nothing comes against them. Nothing harms them. That they don't have no worries, no concerns because they're so close to God. They're still a man. My hope today is that we lay aside these weights that so easily entangle us, that hold us back from God's best, that we not settle, that we go down and ask ourselves, what is the essentials for this walk with God? What is it I absolutely need? Right, Eddie? Sammy, bless his heart, opened his home to the youth yesterday. Sammy's already prepared. He didn't even know it, but he's wanting to get down to the basics. Went around the room to the young people and me. Can't consider myself young. And he asked them, what do you think the basics are? What were some of the things that we mentioned in the meeting? Christy, one of the basics. Prayer. Prayer. Oh, man, I believe if I check the schedule, we have a prayer meeting every Sunday. 8:30 up in the junior youth room, the upper room. Prayer. That's one of the basics. What weight is holding you back from coming and praying? That's the question you ask. Well, sleep. Sleep is essential. It is. Wisdom is that you go, as I said last night, if you went home a half hour early, went to bed a half hour earlier, you'd get up a half hour earlier, you'd be able to make prayer. Not an excuse. Don't deceive yourself. Prayer. One of the other ones, Shane. Reading your word. And we all know Shane loves to read the word. He wants to be a theologian or just correct his dad all the time.
Amen.
Both go hand in hand, so he's enjoying it. Sammy, what was another one? Having the right attitude. Our attitude, our heart attitude. How many here think this is a hard message to hear? Raise your hand. Two? Three? Where three are gathered, there he is in the midst. It's all going to depend on your perspective. It's going to depend on where you're at. In your season. For some of us, it's a hard message. But in all honesty, it's life. It's that air that we breathe. It's the air we breathe that's going to bring life. If you try anything else, you are going to fail. How do I know that? Because it's in the Word. Solomon tried everything else to satisfy. And he failed at everything. It was all vanity. He took it to the extreme when he tried it. He didn't just try, oh yeah, I tasted that. He gave it a chance. And that's what we do in our sinful nature. We give that sin a chance to see if it's really going to harm us. If there are really consequences to my actions when I go against the Word of God. And because it's delayed a little bit, we find ourselves continuing in that sin. Not realizing that we've just sold out our birthright. We've given up our inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High. We need to have a heart's cry to be holy. To be holy. And in order to do that, you're going to have to depend on Him. You're going to have to utterly depend on Him to be holy. In and of itself, you're not going to be able to do it. We sung a song, I need more of Jesus. He's more than willing. Are we willing to bend our knee? Are we willing to get on our face? Here I am, Lord. Use me. Do whatever you need to do. But do not leave me where I'm at. Right, Ken? Bring me forward. Forward progress is our heart's cry. And why is that? So He can clean us up? That in and of itself would be nice. And that's a start. But it's so that He can show His glory to the world. To our coworkers, to the stranger in the store that we encounter. It's for Him. It's for His glory that we do this. That He would be known. That He would be seen. It was interesting. I'm going to close with this. As I was having lunch with a coworker, he says, you know, you'd think I wouldn't cuss as much in front of you and swear and whatnot, since I know that you're like an elder or a pastor in your church. I can't help it. I used to tell them, actually brought the example up where the kids came home and like, Dad, you know, all the kids in school are cussing and swearing all the time. I says, well, you know, you're in a public school. You know, not all of them kids in school are saved. They're heathens. Dad, I'm talking about the kids from our church. I says, well, you know, there is such a thing called schizophrenia. Two personalities. One when you're around Pastor John, Pastor Don, and then one when you're not. Pretty soon, you forget which one you're at. Instead of just being who God made you to be and allowing Him to change you. You need to allow Him to change us, right, Eddie? And it's going to be done on bended knee. You want revival like Pastor Don talked about? You want to see the glory of God? It's going to start with us. Then it's going to start with the church as a whole. Then it's going to move to the communities, to the workplaces. By just allowing God to be God in us. We don't need to boast. Boast about what? We're a broken people. That God is redeeming, sanctifying, and consecrating. Amen? That's it. If I could have the prayer team come up. Yes.
And do not forget about Ed Trout coming in. You know, I'm always excited about that because for some reason, and I still haven't understood it completely, we get more visitors. A lot more than when I teach. And they show up on time. Yeah, when I teach, I can barely get my son to do stuff. But yes, Ed Trout's coming in. I'm excited to see what God does. If you have family, friends, you know what? Let's cover them all. If you have enemies, people you don't like, pray for them first, because when we pray for them, we have a heart for them. And then ask them. 9 out of 10 will laugh at you, tell you no, but you never know. If you're praying for them, God might be moving upon their heart because he answers your prayers. And invite them out. And let's let God be God. Amen? Amen. We have the prayer team up if anybody needs prayer. If anybody doesn't, please feel free to pick up one of these. Carry it around with you. Because I said in last night's meeting, I believe everybody needs prayer. But if you don't, for some reason, you feel free to pick up one of these and carry it around because you'll be the only one that doesn't need prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
My side.